about rest. All right, all set, ready to go. So, if you want, go to Hebrews 4, because last week we had a first part of the recipe for rest, and I'll just go over that last part, that Hebrews 4 recipe, and then we'll go on to the second part for Joshua 11. So last week we were just talking about, it says in verse 23 in Joshua 11, it says, "And the land rested from war." And we talked about, did the land really rest from war? Because there was obviously other skirmishes, because every time that they divided up the land, okay, each tribe had to appropriate what Joshua had just conquered in the northern and southern campaigns. And so we saw the analogy with Christ is we are saved, okay? He purged our sins once for all. And yet, there is still war going on, because that's part of our sanctification process. So just like there, they did the northern campaign, the southern campaign. It said the land rested from war. But as we'll see as we're going through these middle chapters, each tribe had to go and possess the land that they were given as an inheritance. And they had to drive out the inheritance. Drive out the inhabitants. And some did and some didn't. And that's just like us. We are given our salvation. It is done. It is finished on the cross. And yet we're supposed to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Not work for it, but work it out. So sometimes the Lord gives you the V in the middle of the road. Which way are we going to go? Lord, this looks too hard. I'm going to take the easy route. Is the Lord still with you on the easy route? Sure. But maybe things aren't going to be accomplished in your life, and you're not going to possess what he wants you to possess because you didn't go on this side of the V. And so sometimes we go back to where the V is in the middle of the road and go down the hard way. So whatever it is, the Lord is into sanctifying us so that we're at a point where we are what? Being conformed to the image of his Son. That's the whole thing of our whole life here on earth, is to be conformed to the image of his Son. I have a tendency to take the easy way. Tony knows this for over 30 years. Maybe this is my epiphany after 30 years. But I tend to take the easy way. Okay? The easy way today was, oh, this isn't working. You have to go make a DVD of this thing because we don't have the internet here. Just let's not do it. Say, I'm not going to hassle with it. Well, then she goes down and she makes the DVD. We come up here, we put it in there, and so we show it to you. Say, I'm more, if it's a hassle, forget it. No, sometimes the Lord wants you to press through something. This is hard, Lord. I know. Press through. How do you develop muscle? Resistance, right? You're lifting weights or you're doing one of those resistance bands or whatever. That's what produces the muscle. You have to break down that muscle and rebuild it back up sometimes. That's what produces the strength. So in Hebrews 4, last week, I just did a little cutie thing on the recipe for rest. And in it is on Hebrews 3:19, you take out one part faith and sift out unbelief. So you've got to take unbelief out in order to rest. And so many times we're, we have a doubt and unbelief checklist that we do with people. And I'm telling you, most of the time it is chock full, because people have been, well, I waited for God on something and it never came to pass. Or, I gave up praying for that years ago. And what happens is unbelief in what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? So you got to get rid of that unbelief. Then I had mixed with the word two parts of faith. Okay? Hebrews 4:2 is faith in Christ. And then Galatians 2:20 is faith of Christ. So it's your faith in Christ, okay? And also you live by the faith of the Son of God, his faith in you. You've got those two parts, faith in Christ and faith of Christ. Then I said take faith and whisk in belief, 4:3, Hebrews 4:3. You got to put belief in. And what's belief? Taking God at his word and trusting in him, right? Remember the story of Blondin? A long time ago, the tightrope walker that walked across the Niagara Falls. Okay, he would go across both sides, the Canadian side and the American side, and there'd be great crowds. This is at like the turn of the late 1800s. And he would say, how many people believe I can go over to Canada? Oh, you know, they all raised their hand, cheering him. He'd go over to Canada. How many people believe I can walk back over to America? And he did the same thing. Then he put a wheelbarrow up on the tightrope. He says, now, how many people believe I can go over to Canada? They all raised their hand. He says, who's going to get in the wheelbarrow with me and go across? Nobody raised their hand. Why? Scared to death. Why? They just said they believed that he could go across, but they were having to put their faith in him and get in the wheelbarrow and go across with him. And that's what Jesus wants you to do. Get in the wheelbarrow. I'm going across. Do you trust me? We'll see. So take faith and whisk in with belief. Then another one, fourth thing, is blend with surrendering to God's finished work in verse 4. Look, God rested on the seventh day when he was done creating the world. And we need to rest too. And rest in the scripture is not the picture of getting in a hammock like the Corona beer commercial, you know, the sun setting in the bay in Mexico. That is not the picture of rest. The word picture and rest in the scripture is a torrent of a waterfall with a little limb over top with a bird in a nest in it. That's what the picture of rest is. That's the word picture. So even in the tumultuous times and the spray coming up, here's this branch with a bird in the bird nest resting on that branch. That's the word picture. And that's what he wants us to do. Even in the times where it's like, Lord, I don't know if I can trust you in this, he wants us to trust him. So blend with surrendering to God's finished work. And then number 5 is shake. Ready, right? Shake, not stirred, okay? And remove all disobedience that floats to the surface. Because that's what happens is we have disobedience keeps us from putting our faith in Christ. Number 6 is don't overbake so as to become hard. That's verse 7. It talks about the hardness of heart. What happens, ladies, if you bake something too long? Hard as a rock. Tastes awful. Yeah, hockey pucks. That's right, hockey pucks. And then rest while enjoying the meal. How many times do we eat something and we're walking around and then we get, you know, our agita, right? Agita. Which is, Rose, what's agita? Upset stomach, right. So we get an upset stomach because we're walking around and we're not sitting down to eat. Sit down and eat and rest. So rest while enjoying your meal. So second part today is out of Joshua 11. Basically, it's 11:23, and the land rested from war. But I want to look at other aspects of rest. The fruit of victory in Christ is rest. Goodbye. The fruit of victory in Christ is rest. That's the fruit that you want. Okay, so staying with this whole motif of baking something, cooking something, eating something. The fruit of victory in Christ is rest. What kind of rest are you looking forward to? How about rest of assurance? Sometimes on a plane, if somebody says, what do? I say, I'm in insurance. They think, I say assurance, and they think it says insurance, you know. But it's rest of assurance. There is therefore no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. Everybody quotes that like, don't say something to me, I'm not going to take condemnation. No, that means eternal condemnation. There is therefore no eternal condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. You rest in the forgiveness of sins. That's what that means. We take things out of context, you know, and we just use them the way we want them. But that's what it means. It means eternal condemnation, and you have rest in the forgiveness of sins. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Romans 8:33. Most of the time, it's us. I don't know how many times I talk to people, and I say, why do most Christians hate themselves? That is not good news. Really? Why do most Christians hate themselves? Well, did Jesus suffer enough? Mm-hmm. Did he die on the cross? Mm-hmm. Is there anything that needs to be added to that? No. And he did that for you? And so you think you're chopped liver? See, again, the wretch that's in the castle, in the dungeon, the king is benevolent enough to feed bread and water to before they get hung. Okay? Who's the wretch in the castle? In the dungeon? It's the unbeliever. The unbeliever is going to judgment. God is even benevolent enough, right? The rain falls on the just and the unjust. He's benevolent enough to feed the wretch in the dungeon. Don't you think that he's going to feed the child that's in the castle? You're the child. Absolutely. So rest of assurance in your salvation. Rest in the battle with your enemy. Rest in the battle with your enemy. I am a child of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. 1 John 5:18. What? I think the devil's been kicking me around lately. God is not the author of evil. We have to remember that. God is not the author of evil. Anything that the evil one throws at us touches Christ first. Remember that old little saying about going through nail-scarred hand first? Same thing that happened with Job. It looks like, oh my goodness, don't notice me like you noticed Job. This eternal chess game, no way. Thanks, you know, God and the devil. Well, if you just did this, then he'll curse you. If you just did this, he'll curse you. You know, all those things that came from the devil for evil, it had to go through God first. God must have known something in Job that Job didn't even know in himself. You know, that he was going to make it through this. There's nobody like Job. So, any test, any trouble, any circumstance, I can rest in knowing that ultimately all will work together for good to those who love God. Do you love God? Well, sometimes I'm a little waning in it back and forth, but you know what? Do you love God? Yes, I took the step over and I'm saved and are called according to his purpose. It may not immediately understand it. Okay, we may not see the whole picture. Job didn't see the picture, did he? No. But ultimately, it came out to the good. And you know when it came out to the good? When Job prayed for his friends at the end. God was not happy with his friends because they misrepresented God to Job. And then it says that Job interceded for his friends, and then the Lord blessed him like tenfold about all the things that were destroyed. Pray for your friends, even the ones you don't like. Okay, so rest of assurance in your salvation, rest in the battle with your enemy, and rest from striving to please God. Now, this is very hard because I'm walking around yesterday and I'm like, Lord, I know that I don't have to do this. I don't have to go door to door. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. Okay, I just knew I was supposed to do that, and I don't do it every weekend, but I know I'm supposed to do that when I get prompted to do it, and I ask Rose to put out the prayer request to cover it. There used to be days when I would be like, if I didn't read 10 chapters in the Bible and I didn't share with one person, you know, the old Methodists, you had to share with one person a day, even if you had to wake them up like 2 minutes before midnight knocking on their door. That's what they got the Methodist from, methodology. Okay, so you can rest from striving to please God. Cease striving and know that I am God. That's what he said. So here's one of my little play on words here. A surrendered will equals desires fulfilled. A surrendered will equals desires fulfilled. Why do I say that? Because Psalm 37:4 says this, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Sounds like, am I going to sign up for this or what? Is this like a contract or what? If you delight yourself in the Lord, he shall give you the desires of your heart. Why? All desires? Well, if you have a surrendered will, then your desire is only the will of the Lord in everything. That's how it works. If you have a surrendered will, then all your desires are only the will of God in everything. It may not answer the way that you want or think, but you're saying if you delight yourself in the Lord, that he will give you the desires of your heart because he puts them there in the first place. Okay? And the land rested from war, verse 23 in Joshua 11. The greatest rest is when we stop making war with God. That's the greatest rest. Disobedience, selfishness, pride. Remember, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Most of the stuff that we run into, we're running up against God, and we keep thinking it's the devil. Greatest rest is when we stop making war with God. So deal with disobedience, deal with selfishness, deal with pride, die to self, live for him. Every time you go by a Dairy Queen and it says DQ, remember DQ? You know what that stands for? Die quietly. Okay, so anytime you go through the Dairy Queen and you see DQ, just remember, die quietly. Jesus did nothing on his own initiative. He did what he saw the Father doing. Remember? I do the works of the Father who sent me. And we have to do the same. Now, there's two people contrasted in scriptures. One obeyed and one disobeyed. First one was Jonah. Remember? He disobeyed. So, Jonah, if you look at Jonah, you don't have to turn there necessarily, but I'm going to just read a little bit from Jonah. If you look at Jonah, which I have a piece of paper in there so I know right where it is, right? Jonah didn't obey God. Remember, God said, go to Nineveh and tell them they're wicked. And what did Jonah do? I think I'll go someplace else. And if you read Jonah's life, you'll see that he went down, 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 down in disobedience. Okay? So it says here, Jonah, God says to him, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against its wickedness has come up before me. And Jonah arose and fled to Tarshish. Wait a minute. Where's that? That's the other way. Right? And it says he went down to Joppa, and he went down into the boat, and he also paid his own fare. And by the way, if you're going to be disobedient to the Lord, then you're going to go down, 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 and you'll pay your own fare. Because you know what? God picked up the fare on the other way. He brought the whale or the serpent or whatever, and he gave him a free ride on the whale to get him where he's going to go. So if you're going to run, you're going to pay your own fare. He went down into the boat. He went down into the lowest part of the ship. He laid down and was fast asleep. And then it says that they threw him into the sea, down into the sea, and Jonah was in the belly of the whale. He went down into the belly of the whale. This is all down. It's right there. Down, 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 down. And then what happens? God sends a correcting storm, and it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Arise and go to Nineveh. And Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. Yeah, because he got spit up on the dry land by the whale or whatever it was. And then what did he do? He went up to Nineveh, and then he went up on the knoll of the hill, right? After he obeyed, he went up, 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 up. So we want to be like Jonah, and we disobey, and we get deeper and deeper down, down, down. Or like Jeremiah. If you read the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah didn't want to go do what the Lord called him to do. He says, I'm too young. What am I? I'm just a youth. But he says, nevertheless, I'm going to go do what you told me to do, even in the midst of judgment, and he was the only prophet that was speaking the word of the Lord. But because Jeremiah obeyed, he got a fresh and deeper expression of God's will. All the way along in that book, that's what you see, more and more open, you know, things that I have before you, things for a future and a hope, all these different things that he got because he was obedient. So he got a fresh and deeper expression of his will. So I have to ask myself, if I don't have a fresh word from the Lord, have I lost my way? Did I take the wrong V? You know, do I need to examine my obedience? Have I done the last thing God told me to do? Because, you know, a lot of times we're like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then we kind of mosey along. And it's like Chinese Christianity. I'm sorry. It's one from column A and two from column B. And I make my own brand of Christianity. Did I do the last thing that the Lord told me to do? If not, I need to maybe backtrack and go to that point and do the thing that he told me to do. So here's some questions about resting in the Lord. If you're not resting and you're churned up inside or you feel like you've lost your way, ask yourself, is he still waiting for me to obey something? Do I know he wanted me to do something and I didn't do it? I said no. See, at least if you say no Jesus, you know, use his proper name, because you can't say no and Lord in the same sentence. Because if he's your Lord, you can't say no. Get it? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Is he still waiting for you to obey something? Are you still paying your way like Jonah? You pay your way when you disobey. Oh, there's another one. Yeah. You pay your way when you disobey. Is your life a war zone due to not being right with God and living a life contrary to his will? Remember, the biggest wars are when we're disobedient to the Lord. That's the ones that I've had in my life. When I'm disobedient, I know what I'm supposed to do, and I don't do it, to me it is sin, right? I know what I'm supposed to do and do not do it, to me it is sin. And so stop warring with God. He's not your enemy. You have an enemy that wants you to war with God. Don't war with God. He's on your side, but he is the commander in chief, not you. And if he calls you to do something and he wants you to obey, just take the step. It may be, oh my God, I feel like I'm going to go on the tightrope with Blondin. That's okay. Look who's moving the wheelbarrow. The Lord. So, anyway, that concludes our whole thing about little recipe for rest. Rest in your assurance of your salvation. Rest in the battle with the enemy. Rest from striving to please God. And your land will rest from war. You don't have to strive for it. You know, as we're studying through Joshua, we're looking at all these things. Could they have done it on their own strength? There's no way. There's no way. And God says, I'm going to go before you, you know. But there's conditions. Most of the stuff in Scripture, there's conditions to. Okay? Except when you get saved. All you got to do is ask Jesus and say, Lord, you know, you don't have to jump through any hoops or whatever. But there's conditions. If you do this, I will do this. And it's just him teaching us. That's how he teaches us. To obey him. To test him. You know? Remember, the only thing that's, I'm going to throw tithe in here, but anyways, because I'm reading a book on it. The only thing that he's told us to test him in, to see if he won't open the windows in heaven, is tithing. The only thing. Otherwise, you get testy with God. That's not good. But he says, test me in this. So I'll share more about that, because I'm learning a lot that I didn't know before on that whole subject. So. All right, well, you can put your Bibles aside. And Trent, can you pass the baskets around, and we'll just take a little offering and pray for people. Some people are already on their way for Thanksgiving. I know Paige and Brent are going to Atlanta, right? Yeah, going to Atlanta, and other people are on their way. But just pray that we, as a group, I don't know who's going to be here next week, but we talked about maybe bringing some of your leftovers and maybe having a little potluck afterwards or something. You can just put it out on here. Who's going to be here next week? Okay. I thought you guys were going to go up north. Oh, you might be. Well, we were just talking about, you know, sometimes, you know, we could just bring some leftovers or something. We just get some plates and drinks, and we can just stay and have a little something to eat, you know, from the leftovers from Thanksgiving. So, does anybody have, no? Next Sunday's your birthday. Well, you got to come so we can bless you and have a birthday. All right. Good. So, all right. Well, let's pray over the offering, and then we're done. Father, thank you for this time, this day. Lord, lots of planning for this week, lots of shopping for goodies and having people over. And I just really pray, Lord, that we can just really rest in that. And that doesn't mean inactivity, but just rest in it and not feel so pressured. So all the things that we've learned about rest the last couple of weeks, Lord, help us to put those into effect in our own lives. Lord, cease striving and know that I'm God. So help us to not strive and press and push or push others, but just really take it in and have a good memory, have a good Thanksgiving. And thank you, Lord. We remember to thank you because it's a day of Thanksgiving that Abraham Lincoln put in during the Civil War to be thankful. Even in the midst of a horrible civil war, we were thankful, Lord. So just commit this into your hands. Thank you for those that could come, and just continue to pray for those that couldn't be here, and just to watch over them during this week. In Jesus' name, amen.